Thanks, Len.
How are we doing?
Good.
It was exciting and then it got quiet. We're going to continue in Philippians tonight, or this afternoon. I don't know what you guys call it here yet. Evening, thank you. Evening. New term. Terry's going to tag team with me this evening.
He's taking a bit of a chance giving me a microphone. But
well, she said it wasn't very clear because I didn't give all the details this morning. And there were stories that people that know us know, but there's details that were left out for some people that don't know us. And she was like, they wouldn't have picked that up. You got to fill it in. And so she's an amazing color commentator, speaker, bringing to life the stories.
Backseat driver.
Backseat driver. I'll be careful about that one. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're not going to do the entire chapter, but I want to start in verse 12 up to verse 18. Verse 12 up to verse 18. Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Does that captivate your mind? We'll talk a little bit about that. And as you hold firmly to the word of life, then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Father, we celebrate that you have empowered us, you have quickened us, you have brought us to newness of life, that we may be your ambassadors, shining your glory in a corrupt and crooked world, bringing light from Christ to transform the darkness. Father, fill us afresh with new joy. Cause us to grab after and cultivate and pursue the joy of the Lord that is found in you. We run after you. Help us to work it out, not passively sitting down saying, God, do it to me, but serving and pursuing and chasing after you. For the glory and the honor of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't know if you caught the first phrase, my dear friends. And then the last phrase, I want you to rejoice with me. Be glad with me. Joy is done in community. There is no joy without relationship. It's not the new car, the new house, the new toy, the amazing golf game. Those are all great, but there's no joy. The joy of community is where the joy of the Lord is found. Because we're not created for isolation. We're created for relationships. Amen. This last little while, Terry and I have been reflecting on the joy of the Lord in challenging moments. Right? No, you don't want to talk yet? Okay, we'll keep waiting.
Oh, actually, when he called me and said, God has completely changed my theme of what we're doing at camp. And I was like, okay, what are we doing at camp? He said, I think we need to talk about joy. And I just burst out laughing because I said, did you forget that has been the theme of my whole year? And when I mean my year, I mean from my birth date so far. Because all of my birthday greetings, gifts, messages, all were about joy. Joy, joy, joy. So much so that it stood out to me. And I remember my thought process being, okay, Lord, what's coming? Because joy is not cultivated in the easy seasons of life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, one of the hardest seasons of our whole life hit. And it was like, okay, this is what you're talking about. And I remember God saying to me in those early days, I am in this. And so I was like, okay, I don't understand. I don't want this. I don't want to be a part of this, but I know who you are. And if you're in it, I'm okay. And so we have walked.
And we didn't walk alone.
No.
We told you this morning about our church community. Yeah. The day things started to happen, we're on the phone. Our church community's around us. I told you a little bit about Penny and her sisters when we adopted Tim and Betty and brought them home and found out Terry was expecting. And that same community is part of our community. Yeah. And they're like, we're with you. And there was days of disappointment and frustration and challenges. And we could go to our community. And you're just like, man, God is so good.
One of the early days, a friend of mine at the school that I worked at, she came and she was like, I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you. And it's amazing to me you started with that storm. Because as she started to pray over me, I saw Jesus in the boat with the disciples and the storm. And I felt God say to me, you know, because I'd just been reading about it, and the disciples are like, you're sleeping? Sleeping! Like, don't you care that we're perishing here? And I sense God say to me, you feel like that right now. But you've forgotten, I'm in the boat. I'm in the boat. And when I've spoken at the beginning, let's go to the other side. When the storm hits, you forgot, I'm in the boat. And I will get you to the other side. And it's when people surround us and come into a community and stand with you that God can just start to really breathe life into us again and remind us we can have joy because he's in it.
So think about the boat. Jesus is there. The disciples are there. How often we think we're alone, right? We think in the difficult moment, nobody knows what I'm going through. Have you had that thought? Like, you don't understand my uniqueness. I know we're all unique. Some of us are even quirky. But your situation is not something that you're alone in. You are with Jesus and his body. And you're here with Enjoy Life Church. I mean, like, when I thought about joy, I thought, I don't know if I can bring joy to Enjoy Life. You just want to enjoy life, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. We got this reality that we're walking through it, but we're never alone. Yeah. Jesus is with us. We might think he's sleeping on our situation. We forget he's just at peace. And he's saying, join me at peace. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Don't strive. That's our tendency, right? Like, let us get it in control that I know where it's going. But that doesn't mean we're passive. That doesn't mean we do nothing. And so Paul says, work out your salvation. It's not like let your salvation be worked out. No, like, come on, get into it. Be part of it. Pursue him. Chase after him. Be in love with him. Seek his face. What is he saying to you? And so Terry, over this last season, has been hearing like different words. And it was a couple years ago she came to Canada. She had to renew her driver's license because we live in Ethiopia. We have to try to keep a few ties here. So she came just for 2 or 3 days to Edmonton. She like flew across the world to get a driver's license. Landed and she's driving down the streets of Edmonton.
I wasn't driving.
Okay, tell me.
Wait, what are you thinking about?
what the Lord said to you.
Yeah. No. I can't think when I'm driving. I'm just driving, focusing on the road. So God usually speaks to me in the bathroom. I don't know if you're like that, but I'm quiet, and there's nothing else to do. And so I was getting ready in the morning, and I just sensed God say, I want you here. What do we mean by that, Lord? Like, this basement? Like, you want me here? But it was this sense of Canada. And I was like, that can't be from the Lord. And I remember growing up and hearing the song, please don't call me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. And I was like, please don't send me to Canada. I know I don't got what it takes, is what I was thinking. But it was this strong sense of God starting this process in me, because I knew it wasn't going to be easy. But it was this sense he started it 3 years ago.
And he has a place.
I have a place
for
you.
That we could not have planned. Mm. Now, for those of you that don't know, our whole life is kind of flipped on its head in the last month. It was actually a month ago today. We're down in Halifax at our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada conference. And we've lived 23 years in Ethiopia. And I was elected to be the leader of our mission department, meaning not just Africa and the Middle East is my responsibility. Now I'm responsible for all of our mission work around the world. And that means we have to move back to Canada. And a few years ago, God speaking to her, I got a place for you. When we start walking through this hard moments of the last year that we can't put together, I got a place for you. I've got you. And we go to our community and our friends, just like, I don't know how to describe it, except they just come out of the woodwork. They don't know what we're going through. They don't know every detail. And there's words of wisdom, words of prophecy, just speaking into our lives of, what's God been saying to you? Like, how do you know? I don't know what you're dealing with, but this is what's going on in our heart. And the reality is, this joy doesn't just happen because we sit in church, because we attend a program or a camp. It's like, work it out, chase it down. Don't let Jesus go. Run after him, love him, pursue him. It's not just, I'm okay, I can suffer, I can endure. No, I want the best, and if enduring is through that, let's go. Yeah. Let's go, whatever the cost, let's go, because we're going to come to this place of saying, your way is what gives me peace. Yeah. It's not what I want. But you know, we think about Jesus at the cross. Not my will, your will. Like, yeah, I can say that when I'm saving humanity, and we always think about that, and then it comes to our own situations in life. It's like, no, my will. Like, I know what's best here, right? None of us think we don't know what's best. We typically figure we're pretty smart. We got it figured out. I'm clever. I know what needs to happen. And coming to this place is saying, I'm at peace with you, God. If you're leading me through this hard moment, let's go. You're holding my hand. If the boat is a bit rocky, you're asleep on the cushion, my heart's going to be at peace. And as we pursue this active response to what Jesus is calling us to, creates this ability within us to say, your will is the right way. And I'm going to chase you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm going to pursue you.
And so many times and seasons of my life, Psalm 23 has come up. It's so well known. I think we could all sit here and quote at least one verse from it, if not the whole passage. And many seasons of my life, it was, this is lovely, besides still waters, right? And it was that sense of he restores my soul. But this year, the verse that really stood out to me was, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it may not look good, and it may not be comfortable. In fact, it's usually not. But it's for his name's sake. And the very next verse is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But he's leading, so I will fear no evil. And so in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And
so, yeah. No, sorry. Verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. I don't know. Your experience. I don't know if you ever complain. I don't. I like everything. I'm okay with everything. But this became a challenge to our hearts On November 14th, we were called to a meeting at a government office in Ethiopia with 12 other families. 11 other families. It wasn't a very pleasant meeting. And we went into this place, and it was like a war zone. And in that, it just felt, don't say a word. Now, for preacher type guys, that's like, but I could correct that. That's wrong. You know, like, no, I could say it better. I could make it more clear. No. Do nothing. And we came out, and it was hard, and it was heavy, and it was oppressive. We had this incredible peace. And it was like, this was wrong. And we're just like, no. God's at work. I don't know what's going on, but I know God's at work. And we walked through this series of difficult meetings, and we can choose complaining. We can choose to tell the Lord everything that went wrong. We can say, like, you got it. I don't understand. That meeting was torture. The meetings that came were painful. And you just say, you got me. You got us. You've got our kids. We're sitting in this tumultuous season. And the long and the short of it, since January, our kids have been online in school because the school has not been okay with all of these court cases and everything going on. And they've walked through this heaviness with us. You know what? God's got it. Yeah. And I can tell you everything that's wrong with online schooling. You know what I mean, if you know what I mean. Or I can just say, God's got it. Yeah. God's got my kids. He loves them more than me. He has a purpose and a plan. And so when we're living this out in community, our friends would come around us. Brian and Val would be like on spring break, let the kids come out. Let's have sleepovers. Let's go walking with Brian's walking sticks. He's got these really nice walking sticks for all the kids. And they go walking and they're eating and they're snacking and they're having the time of their lives. They don't feel the tumultuous rocky waters too much. What are we choosing? Are we going to be different in a world that's full of everybody that knows how to complain? I mean, we are masters of complaining. Like, I think Helen said this morning, first world problems. I don't remember what the statement was, but I just had to die laughing. It's just like, we can complain about some pretty mundane things, right? Like, there's too much ice in my water. There's not enough ice in my water.
There's ice.
Well, these things that capture us.
That, yeah, and I love the atmosphere in here today, because when the presence of God is there, when we're in His presence, everything changes. We recognize our circumstances haven't moved, they haven't budged often, but everything has changed because our perspective, our attitude, the way we look at it is transformed. And so we need these moments of being together in His presence, because when we're in His presence, everything changes.
And then we look different. Mm. Like, do you see joy in somebody's face? And you're like, how do they have joy when you know what they're walking through?
Yeah, that's true.
Like Tim on the side of the road with the car broken down. Right? Like, he's got this big smile on his face. We were chatting today. Tim's smiling the whole time. he's talking about crazy stuff. Like, weird things, and he's got a smile on his face. He's just like bubbling, oozing out of him. You know what I mean? Like, we can walk through difficult waters, and you're different. And the world can see it. He says, so that you become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Don't join the world. Everybody knows how to complain. Everybody knows how it could be done better, right? We all know what the solution is. Like, I know the solution for your life. It's easy. Of course, I can't do the solution for my own life, but I can tell everybody else how to solve it, right?
You know what I mean?
But the difference when you start just living out the joy, you're not the advice king. You're surrendered to Jesus. You know what happens? He says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You're a light. And they're in a world where there's so much darkness, so much frustration, so much brokenness. Everybody's looking for a glimpse of hope. And there's a star shining in the sky, bringing light. And all of a sudden people are like, how are you handling this? Like, what's going on? They're all thinking you should be broken. But no, you chose joy. You cultivated joy. You hung on to Jesus. You walk through the valleys. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to fight with God. Right? We often like to say, like, I'm going to teach God. He's disappointed me. He's frustrated me. No. I'm choosing to say, God, your way is the best. I don't understand it. Not that clever yet. But I'm going to follow you. Shine like stars. Look a little bit further. We see this joy lived out in community. It's not joy we hold. It's giving ourselves for others. In this last season, Terry's been continually developing the worship team. And so we saw Penny tonight up here on stage. Penny was like 11 or 12. Joined the worship team at our church in Addis. I mean, it's a few years ago. maybe a 10, something like that. And continually developing these young worship leaders in our church. In the midst of tumultuous moments, there's this outlet of giving yourself, not surrendering. And so we watch these young leaders rising up. The Sauls, the Robbies, the Eliases.
Yeah, some of these young people are now 40, so that tells you how old we are. But yeah, it's been so exciting. And we have always been a younger church, and so we decided we want to keep that ethos. And so we started bringing in our junior youth. They're 11 to 14-year-olds, and they're joining our worship team because it's a part of who we are. And to watch these young people start to develop and grow and get confident and worshiping God, it's so exciting. That is a joy in my life, even in all the seasons.
You say, you know, I'm tired in this season. There's too much going on. I need to take a break. Have you said that? Maybe you said that recently. When we pour ourselves out, He's the one that refills it. When we try to refill it by doom scrolling through some social media app, we're never refilled. We just keep getting more and more and more depleted. Am I right? I know it might be a little strong. I'm not used to your Canadian context yet. This captivating of somehow I'm going to get refreshed by watching Netflix. I'm sorry. Doesn't build you up. Doesn't leave you going, oh, to God be the glory. What else can I do? It's like, oh, I'm exhausted. I need a bag of chips. Sorry, that's me. But when we live this life pursuing, chasing after Jesus, it's not like I need to stop serving to get refreshed. Need to lean into other people. Who can I serve so that I can be refreshed? Yes. Who's the person that needs the love of Jesus today? More. Who needs that outpouring of God's love and mercy in their life? Might be that broken person in your community, in your church, in your home group. It might be in your employment or in your school. I don't know your situation. But there's somebody that needs you to pour out your life. As you pour out your life, God's just refilling you. Yeah. That's the life of joy. Amen. See, when you choose to retreat, there's no refreshing. It's pushing in where we encounter Jesus. And I was talking with Brian because we've been talking for years in Ethiopia, coming back and forth and all this stuff. And it's like, you know what rest is? You know what rest is? It's not sleep. I love sleep. I love early sleep. I love naps. I had a nap this afternoon, but that's not rest. Rest is coming to complete alignment with the will of God. It's not my activity. It's like, you've got me. I'm walking with you. I trust you. And that process of serving in. So we watched Terry as she led the worship team, but not only the worship team, she was leading our junior youth and our 11 to 14 year olds. She was telling you about some of them joining the worship team, cultivating this community that our young people would know the Word of God. From 11 to 14, in a year and a half, they go through the entire Bible looking at the main ideas, because she's going to continue to pour out. 11 to 14 year olds, then after the year and a half, they're going to go through the Gospels and learn who Jesus is. Another generation needs to know who He is. They're not the same as us. They might not learn the same as us. So we need to be very intentional that they're captivated by who Jesus is. I don't know about you, I want them to love Jesus. I want them to be in love with Him. Find their joy in Him. Right? And Terry, through this season, has been walking that out. And as they shine like stars, it says, as you hold firmly to the word of life. We don't shine by ourselves. We shine by holding on to Jesus. How is that done? In the community. You think if we're all stars, we join our hands together. What are we going to do for Edmonton? Come on.
Amen.
This is a corrupt and crooked world. What do they need? They need Jesus, who shines like a star. It's those that are holding on to Jesus. We don't hold on to Jesus by ourselves. It's not just Jesus and me. It's together. We show the world that Jesus is the Son of God. It's as we walk out that reality. You okay? Joy. Joy just oozing out because you're shining like a star. Not a superstar doing something in a corner. You're attached to the source of power. And your life is saying, hey, He's got me. It's not my way, it's His way. It's not my plan, it's His plan. It's not my purpose, it's His purpose. And so as we walk through, this joy is expressed, not how I feel, but how close I am to Jesus. How much I'm aligned with who He is. How much I'm at peace with what He's saying. You know when you hear God say something, you're kind of like Terry, the other experience you shared. No, not to Canada. Right? No, not that, Lord. And then you come to a place of Your will, Lord.
It was actually 2 years ago at this camp that God spoke again about this in a powerful way. And as we were driving in here yesterday, I was like, whoa. Because 2 years ago, as we drove away from this camp, we were talking about, I think God is asking us to do this.
We were sitting back here, just behind Michelle. We were sitting right there. I don't remember who came to pray. Somebody came to pray for us. Nobody had a clue of what we're kind of just wrestling with. It might have been Russell, who came back here, and he just prayed for us, and we walked out of the camp, we drove out of the camp, and we're like, oh, did you hear what he prayed? You know, it made me a little nervous when Len said, would you come to camp? I'm a little nervous to come to Enjoy Life Camp. You're never sure what's going to come out of
it. Totally shakes up our life every time.
Don't mourn.
Oh, Auntie Lori, thank you.
I better run out the door. But what happens is our life starts to be aligned, and God knows you. He knows what you need. He knows how to lead you in a way. He's not wanting to break you. He loves you. He wants you to be filled with the joy of the Lord, that you're not fighting against him for your own way. So he leads you. And so he says to Terry, who for more than half her life has lived in Ethiopia, I have a place for you. Preparing your heart. And she calls me. I think God's speaking to me. I can't see her face. I just hear the emotion. It's like intense. She's got a lot of emotion.
I'm trying to keep it under wraps.
But it's just, I think God's saying this. And you're like, you know, it's not like a job you can go for an interview and say, yeah, I want to do this or I don't want to do this. Like, this process actually goes through a secret ballot nomination thing. You show up and they're going to tell you the names. And then it's an election. And you know, elections, like, they're really predictable, right? And you just, you have no clue. Except you have this sense in your heart. God's been speaking. Can't say God said, this is the way, but, okay, our world is shaken up. We know we're moving on. We know there's a new season. What are you going to do, God? You know what I mean?
And I worked at the school. I loved the school, the teachers, and the different ones. And I was walking around the campus one day, and I just sensed God say, your time's up. And I was like, what? Like, I knew that the sense something's coming, something's changing. I'm like, okay, is God trying to tell me that, you know, at the end of this year, it really is going to happen. My time is up. My time's up. And then through all the crazy that happened, it was a sense of, you need to go. And it was like, but we're not done the year. I am HR. I look after these teachers. I can't leave them in one of the hardest years in recent memory before the end of a school year. Like, but God said, and Jeremy very strongly said, it's time to go. But God spoke to me because I was like, okay, Lord, I can't leave. I cannot leave unless I know. And I was sharing with a few of you, some of you I saw today, but it was like, I sensed him say very strongly, go. And I was like, but it's like March. And he's like, do you think you hold up the school? Kind of. And it was like, you don't, I do. Go.
And so in the midst of all this tumult, the rocky waves of the boat, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen to our kids. Like, are we moving to Canada or are we not? Are the kids going to be going to boarding school? Is this going to be online school? I don't think online school is going to work the best for some of our kids. What? And then I got a friend who's on the board of a Christian school in Truett Park, and he's like, let me talk to the principal, and maybe when you're on this trip, you can come up and visit him. Long story short, I show up at the school, and I meet the principal, and he's like, yeah, we can take Tim and Bethy right now, no problem. They can join the school whenever you come back at the beginning of April or something. And and if they come in now, they're guaranteed a spot, and that'll guarantee a spot for Zoe in September. And if not, it's a lottery system. And next week, the lottery rolls out. And I had no clue about any of this. And we're like making a decision that we could never have orchestrated in a week time. Because God was already doing something we couldn't put together. He was preparing the way, planning this out. And so I call Terry, right? And I'm like, Tim and Betty can start on April 7th. And for those of you that remember the calendar, that's the Tuesday after Easter. So they have Easter in Canada, land on the Thursday before Good Friday, jump into school on Tuesday morning. Let's go.
And we don't even know if we're staying. We just think, okay. Yes, Lord, is there land out there? All right, take a step and go.
And as you take those steps, God just overflows you with so much peace. I don't know the outcome. I just know he said, come on, let's go. Trust me in this. You say, okay, I'm with you, Lord. I don't know how this is all going to go. Well, how are we going to undo this if it doesn't go this way?
Yes, and then being married to this man, he immediately started to give everything we own away. I'm like, okay. So it's mostly gone. One way or another, we are starting over.
Yeah. It's a new season. Whatever happens, it's a new season. But you get captivated. God is in those little details. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this, because we stay with my parents and they live in Castle Downs. Sherwood Park is a little ways away from Castle Downs. I don't know how long you've lived in Edmonton, but it's a bit of a drive every day. And for me, it's not a problem, because I'm getting on a plane on April 7th. Yeah, some of you are putting the dates together.
He had a trip planned more than a year before this to leave on that date.
And so what happens is, we have friends in Sherwood Park. They're like, you're going to stay in our place. And we're going to clear out our whole basement. And this is where you guys can land. And we're going to set up the bedrooms so the kids have their space. And you have a kitchenette. And you have an outdoor space. And we're like...
And they have a son in grade 12 that will drive them to school every day. Because you have to remember, I didn't grow up in this country, though my passport says Canada. And I've only spent 7 consecutive years here as a teenager grown up. And the day he flies out and they start school, it's snowing. I was like, I have not driven in snow in 23 years. And now I'm on the Hyundai suite. Okay, Lord, save us.
Isn't God amazing? Like, can we find joy in the tumultuous moments? Yeah, it's in him. It's not the circumstance. The circumstance wasn't awesome. But God's orchestration is amazing. God's holding on to our life is amazing. And I look at Paul writing from the prison. He was in prison in Philippi. He's been in prison in Rome. He's writing from this potential death sentence. He's saying, like, rejoice. Come on. Rejoice. Come on, chase down joy. Go get joy. Be full of joy. Say, God's got me. And so he says it this way, not like I just paraphrased it. Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Did you see that? Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, I'm being dumped out. My lifeblood is being poured out as an offering to God. Even if I'm dying, I'm glad. Now, most of us are like, come on, that's just stupid. Right? Like, I'm glad I'm dying. I'm glad that God's directing my path. I'm glad that God is using my life. Yeah. Even in death, he will use you. Yeah. Until those last moments, the last breaths, and those steps that start to be chartered, he's still doing it. And then his statement to them, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Our joy is together. What are you walking through? Don't walk alone. What are you carrying? Don't carry it alone. You've got Jesus. You've got the community of faith. Let's go together. No.
I'm not sure what story he was expecting to show up right there.
Sorry. I thought you were with me.
I am, but...
Joy is just poured out of your life. You can't hoard joy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got joy? Let it out. You know what's going to come? More joy. Thank you. More joy. And it's just going to bubble up. And people that are in despair will be like, what's going on? So for our school in Ethiopia, it was like despair came. And I was leading the board, trying to navigate through this tumultuous season. And we go into the board meeting, everybody's like, oh, I don't know. You know what, guys? We could do this. Maybe God's leading us in this. And they're like, your kids aren't even coming here anymore. Why are you? Because God's got this. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God's purpose and plan in anything that we're part of.
Yeah.
Right? Your life, it's, I'm sorry, it's not about you. Like, really, your life is not centered on some individual narcissistic person. Your life is about what is God intending to do? What's His purpose? What's His plan? Years ago, there was that purpose-driven life, and everybody was like, oh, God has a purpose for me. Like, hello? We need somebody to tell us we got a purpose? You're created in the image of God. Life. Vitality, dignity, because you bear His image. He didn't create you just to be some random person pursuing your desires of the flesh. He created you to bear His image, to bring His light, to walk out His glory and honor. You know what that brings? Joy. Right? How fulfilled are you when the joy of the Lord is your strength? Everything you touch just seems to be like flowing. You're just like, wow, that guy's so lucky. No, that guy's walking with Jesus. Are we okay? Some of you seem happy and some of you are like, whoa, this guy's crazy. See, joy's poured out. Don't hold on to it. Don't just stuff it down, keep it for myself so when I'm alone at night I can be joyful. No, come on, let's share it. Let's let it out. Let's be filled with the joy of the Lord. Again, I'm not a good singer, so I won't sing, but do you remember that song? The joy of the Lord? I don't know how to sing. The joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Thank you. You remember this?
Is my strength.
If
the joy
you want,
of the Lord,
you remember that?
Is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Right? I remember learning this as a kid. If you want joy, you gotta
jump.
You remember that? If you want joy, you gotta.
Wow.
Right? Come on. It's not something we just sit on the side. God, give me joy. I'm coming after you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm chasing after you. You are the source of joy. And it's as I align my life with you, regardless of my life being poured out, regardless of whatever happens to my friends or my family, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so He's saying, I want you to rejoice with me. You too should be glad and rejoice. I'm being poured out. You should be glad and rejoice. That's what Paul's saying to the church of Philippi. Why? Do you remember the last time he was in prison at Philippi? Remember what they saw? God used his life, his imprisonment, to bring a jailer's family to Christ. What's God using your life for? You might say, oh, Jeremy, you don't understand. No, like, my situation is different. Of course, we're all in different situations. But God is not different.
Yeah.
The God who brought an earthquake to bring Paul and Silas out of prison is the God who shook the earth and brought Peter out of prison. It's the God who came and touched the sick man and raised him up. It's the God that cast the demons out of the men and drove it into the pigs. It's the God that calmed the raging storm. It's the God who raised Jesus from the dead. It's the God who poured out His Holy Spirit on His church. It's the same God.
Yes.
I don't know what He's doing in your life. But I know this. He's calling us to joy. He's calling us to joy. Rejoice. Be glad. Find your joy in the Lord, not in the circumstance. If we look at Paul's circumstance, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering, that's not a circumstance to be happy about. Nope, it's not. But it's a circumstance to be joyful about. Because God's purpose is being accomplished. If we're going to be filled with joy, we're going to align ourselves with Jesus. We're going to chase after Him. We're going to surrender to His leading. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. Worship team, if I could have you come. Song, I don't know if you are prepared, but that song, Abide, you sang it this morning. I want Terry to, don't give up the microphone, please. I want Terry to lead us in prayer. The joy of the Lord. In the middle of whatever circumstance. The joy of the Lord. Gladness because our lives are aligned with Him.
Father, we thank You for Your goodness towards us. We thank You that You are a God who sees us,
yes,
in the midst of every season, every trial, every challenge, every mountaintop. You walk with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. And Father, I pray that Your glory would fill this place. For those that need a fresh glimpse of who You are, that You would show Yourself tonight in a powerful way, that we would remember to fix our eyes on Jesus,
yes, Lord,
the author and the perfecter of our faith. God, help us to keep You always before us. And in these moments of life, that nothing would rob us of our joy as we walk with You in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake.
Yes.
Would You well up that joy from deep within us?
Hallelujah.
Help us to live out the purpose, yes, and the calling that You have placed on our lives, not to get distracted by somebody else's call, but the one You have placed on our,
yes,
life.
Yes.
That as we fulfill it, as we walk it out, Your joy will overflow in our lives. Father, would You come with Your sweet, beautiful Spirit and fill this place? Would You shine Your light upon us again? Would You look upon us and give us Your peace? Would You help us to remember who You are? You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are Almighty God and Prince of Peace. And there is no God like our God. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what we are facing, You never change.
Amen.
And we can rely on You.
Yes.
You are our firm foundation, the anchor of our soul. You are our soon and coming King. So, Father, as we look beyond this moment and this day into what eternity will one day be, help us to keep our eyes looking up, looking at You, and remembering the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Yes.
And remembering that You have a purpose and a plan. And one day, we will be with You around the throne of God, rejoicing and celebrating if we do not give up. God, give us a spirit of perseverance as we walk this life. When we get weary and we get weak, bring the people around us, Father, to remind us that we are not alone. You are with us, and You have co-laborers in the field with us, that we work alongside each other. We grow, we move, we shape our lives according to what You are calling us to. Come, Father, with Your beautiful spirit. spirit and presence and transform our attitudes, our lives, and our mindset tonight, we ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
In this spirit of worship tonight, as the worship team leads us, maybe you're struggling to be surrendered to the alignment of Christ. You're striving, you're not really happy with what Jesus wants to do. What he's calling you to is a little bit hard and you'd rather take a different road. Tonight's an opportunity for alignment. Maybe you've allowed your joy to be robbed. Tonight's an opportunity to find your joy in the Lord. To push in, to work it out. Maybe you're saying, I just need to step back because I'm too busy. And God's saying, no, my friend, my brother, my sister, step up. Tonight's an opportunity to step in. Reclaim God's call on you. Yeah. Don't be alone tonight. It's in community. Come to the front. The worship's leading, or be with some of your friends. Gather around. Raise your hand. Come and join us. We need the joy of the Lord. Yeah. We need His strength. Amen. We need alignment with Christ. Worship team, lead us, please.